The first shot of the Battle of Talarn was fired in space. It was fired from the edge of the planet's monitor range, from the heavy cruiser Hammerfall. The Nova shell hit the northern polar orbital defence station while its systems were still asleep. The station vanished. Harsh blue light lit the northern face of Talarn, and for an instant it burned brighter than the sun. A fraction of a second later, the shell's secondary payload activated. The graviton charge sucked in the expanding sphere of plasma and dragged the station's weapon platforms into its crushing embrace. Curtains of aurora light danced across the northern plains of Kadir as the graviton detonation warred with Talarn's magnetic fields. In the polar capital of Ormas, people crowded the upper surfaces of the city dome to see the night sky dance. The orbital defense network began to wake. Orspec scans cut into space, looking for targets. They did not have to look hard. Hundreds of ships enclosed Talarn in a shrinking sphere. The planet's defences began to fire. Torpedoes slid from launch tubes. Turbo lasers fired, running their capacitors dry as they drew networks of light across the darkness. Some shots found their mark. Three torpedoes caught the macro-transporter Krytos and burrowed through three deck layers before detonating. Turbo lasers caught the retribution of thunder as its void shields hit a ring of orbital debris. The beams of energy sliced the ship's bridge from its bulk and left it drifting. But the resistance could not last. Two more Nova shells fired from the Iron Warriors fleet destroyed the equatorial and southern polar stations. Squadrons of destroyers slipped into high orbit and launched spreads of torpedoes. The warheads slid onto their own orbital arcs to hit the remaining weapon platforms. New constellations blinked into existence in the skies of Talarn. There were few ships to defend the system. A squadron of defense monitors, their responses dulled by years of inactivity, tried to intercept some of the enemy ships. They died for their effort. Lasfire cut their hulls into chunks, and then macro cannon salvos hammered the remains into scraps of metal and burning gas. One ship alone tried to run. The Light of Inwit was an Imperial Fists strike vessel. She paused for a second as her communications officer tried to raise Marshal Lycus on Talarn's surface. The only reply was static. Her shipmaster did not hesitate. Word of the attack needed to reach others. The Light of Inwit turned its prow to the blackness of the system edge and burned its engines until they were white with heat. She nearly made it. Iron Warrior's gunships accelerated in her wake, reaching after her with stitched lines of explosions. Clouds of debris and energy buffeted her void shields, but she kept running. More Iron Warrior's ships slipped from behind Talarn's outer moon. They'd been waiting to see if any of the defenders would run, and they were ready. 10 destroyers launched a net of torpedoes. The Light of Inwit twisted, spiraling as it tried to weave a course through the web of warheads. A single torpedo clipped its upper hull and exploded. The vessel veered, its hull glowing with pinprick fires. The second torpedo hit it amidships and tore a chunk of hot metal from its flank. The Iron Warriors moved in with lazy confidence. Spinning without control, the Light of Inwit fired a single salvo as if shouting defiance. The Iron Warriors' guns opened it from prow to stern. In the skies above Talarn, heavy 4th Legion ships settled into orbit. Grand cruisers, battle barges, siege barks, and weapon haulers plated the heavens in dull iron. Bombardment cannons slid from their bellies and rotated towards the surface. A few turned so that their prow torpedo tubes faced down towards the target zones, hanging like daggers. On the ground, Talarn's defences began to shout defiance at the sky. Laser platforms and missile silos threw ship-cracking payloads towards the orbiting vessels. The Iron Warriors fired in return. For those looking up from the night side of Talarn, the bombardment appeared as a shower of falling stars. In the clear skies of the south, the falling warheads winked like golden coins scattered in the sun. Hundreds of bombs and torpedoes fell. After their initial launch, they needed no propulsion. Talarn's own gravity drew them to it. The warheads broke apart as they descended. They shed their ceramite armor first, sloughing it off like a cocoon to reveal polished metal beneath. The next layer simply fragmented seconds later, dumping the first dose of viral agents into the upper air currents. Beneath this, hundreds of winged bomblets nestled like insect young clinging to their mother. This layer released 300 meters above the ground. The bomblets began to tumble like seeds, spraying atomized viral agents as they spun. Finally, the core of each warhead hit the ground like a bullet, punching through rock and soil before exploding. Clouds of earth and debris burst into the air. Beneath the earth, the virus began to spread through the soil and into the water table. The first casualties were those closest to the ground bursts. In the Crescent City, a warhead hit one of the main arterial routes through the outskirts. The road was dense with people and vehicles scrambling to reach the entrances of the shelters beneath the city. As the explosive cloud settled, people began to fall, blood running from their eyes. Within seconds, the flesh of those within the initial blast had begun to fall from their bones in blood-slimed ribbons. Those that were further away lived a little longer. The mist of viral agents in the air mixed with the wind as it blew across Talan. People began to fall. They fell trying to get to shelter. They fell in their homes as the killing air seeped through the cracks in the walls. They fell looking up at the sky. Outside of the cities, the virus scythed through the lush agribelts and jungle regions. Forests became tatters of toxic slime hanging from the dead skeletons of trees. The slick bones of cattle floated in pools of black filth. Flocks of birds fell from the air in a rain of putrefying flesh and feathers. Within 5 minutes of the first impacts, the casualties in the major cities numbered almost 1 million. Within 10 minutes, they were over 10 million. Within an hour, the living population on the surface of Talan was negligible. A few survived in isolated places far away from the impact sites. They would die in the following days. Within 3 days, there was no measurable life on the surface. The last person to die in the attack was a soldier attached to one of the northern tundra bases. His name was Rahim. Caught in an armored vehicle far from the cities, he drove in search of other military personnel until his fuel ran out. His air supply failed 2 hours later. Sealed in shelters far beneath the ground, the survivors of Talan waited. Many were soldiers, the remnants of regiments never shipped out to the Great Crusade. Beside them were a lucky few, civilians who had known of the shelters and reached them in time. Sipping recycled water, breathing processed air, they listened as silence settled across the surface of Talan like a shroud.